Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Blessing, what's good, homeboy? Thanks for having me. Excited to be here to talk video games with you.
I'm loving the 100 Thieves sweatshirt.
Thank you. I'm wearing pink today.
Yeah.
In honor of my guy, Mr. Two. Put a little one up in the chat for my guy, Bon Clay. I hope one day in your life, you have a friend that's so ride or die, just like Bon Clay.
Can you tell me a bit about Bon Clay?
Bon Clay from One Piece. You know, I don't want to spoil anything, but I just want you to know that I've been finished Impel Down, and Bon Clay and some others have stepped up and helped Luffy continue to chase his dream. And it was a beautiful moment. It was a beautiful moment. And all you need to know is swans never die and never say goodbye.
Yeah, I was going to say Bon Clay is the swan guy, right?
Yep.
He comes back?
Yeah. In the name of everlasting friendship.
Damn. Mike just spoiled episode 731 of One Piece.
I can't wait to get to that in years.
That's crazy. So is One Piece what you're watching like when you're off of like live action stuff? Because I know you're in the Fallout train, right? And you were watching Fallout during that review season.
Yeah, it was big on Fallout.
Is it as soon as you finish that finale, you're back to One Piece? Is that what happens?
Every single night, me and my best friend Kevin A6 watch 2 to 3 episodes of One Piece before bed. It's a guaranteed thing. I cannot watch One Piece alone. There's been many of times where I want to go to the gym and watch One Piece. I want to just hang out and watch One Piece, and I just can't do it without Kevin.
I love that for you.
You know what I mean?
I also love like going to the gym and watching One Piece because I've been doing that with the Dropout stuff. I don't know if I've talked to you about like my recent addiction, which is Dropout content. It's like what College Humor turned into.
I like that.
And so it is like I'm sure you've seen like Dimension 20 and the D&D streams and podcasts and stuff that they do. But they also do Game Changers, which is their game show. Which is like the one that Iffy hosts, which is people talk, they give like a prompt and then there's something wrong with it and people buzz in and tell you what's wrong with the prompt. But I've found that they get me through my workouts like that. Like I am on the treadmill and I put on an episode of and it is like, all right, cool. Like I'm locked in. I'm answering questions in my head. It makes my workout twice as fun.
That's all you can ask for. You find those things in the gym that make the time go by faster, right?
Yeah.
Whether it be a podcast, your new Taylor Swift album, whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's that one thing for each person that just makes time kind of just melt away. And I'm glad you got something like
Have you checked out the new Taylor Swift album?
No.
I don't know what's going on there on the Taylor Swift streets. It seems like a lot.
I think it's a must listen to. I will probably turn it on. And I'm not the biggest Taylor fan, but I think it's just one of those of like, you know, who she is, the music that she does, the level at what Taylor Swift has ascended to. I think everybody's got to at least give it a try and see what's up. And so, yeah, I'll try it.
Yeah, the people are saying it's a double album. I went over to on Spotify. Yeah, 31 songs, The Tortured Poets Department, The Anthology. That's sick. Taylor Swift knows how to, like, her and her people can market something, man. I appreciate an artist that has really good branding and really good, hey, like, we got really good names for our albums. We got really good song names. Like,
good surprise of, like, hey, we're releasing an album. JK, it's a fucking double album.
Yeah, like, I love that,
I'm not a Taylor Swift fan, but I was like, when everybody was popping off last night, I was like, damn.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good for y'all. I was up last night just praying, hoping that Kendrick Lamar dropped the reply. He didn't. But Drake put his on the Spotify, on like streaming apps.
Oh, okay.
And so now I can listen to it without like having it be the janky MP3 that I just like downloaded and just placed into my Spotify. Now I can playlist it.
So Drake out here body shaming him. He attacking him for his height. You can't be doing
that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I thought we were past that.
It's the easy dunk. That's where I'm at. I can say this.
I thought we were past that.
As somebody who might be like just a little bit vertically challenged, right? Okay. Like, you know,
I'm pretty tall.
I'm a short 5'11". And so I'm a short 6'2".
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm like, me and Roger were talking about this of what does Drake say about Kendrick?
Yeah.
And immediately I was like, oh, he talks about how short he is. Like you have to talk about Kendrick's height.
That's crazy.
And again, I'm somebody who I'm with the short kings and average height above average guys out there. But it's funny. That's the thing. thing is, like, you know, there are so many jokes that you can make. Because Kendrick Lamar has... Well, here's the thing with Kendrick Lamar is that he has big energy. Some might say he has BDE. BDE. Right? Like, he walks around like the biggest man in the room. And that's great for him. That's cool for him. As Drizzy Drake... You gotta like find what's the obvious dunk I can make, and it becomes we're gonna talk about him being, you know, a tall 5'5".
Okay.
But hey, yeah. You know, it's a controversial thing to do. That's why Kendrick Lamar is gonna drop his diss and maybe do what Rick Ross did, which is just like find different ways to bully him. Talk about him maybe getting nose surgery. Like,
yes.
Who cares?
Yes.
This is what rappers are doing nowadays.
I like that.
Are you included? Are you listening to all the diss tracks? Are you following
along
with battles?
I'm listening. I'm following the social media conversation about it. I enjoy it. As a Drake fan, as you know, Blessing, I'm very basic. So like, you know, I gotta listen. I gotta see what's up. I gotta see what my guy's saying.
Have you listened to the new Nas?
No.
Nas dropped a track.
Okay.
And it's with DJ Premier. It's a huge thing. Because people wanting this Nas DJ Premier collab.
And he's
album.
Dissing everybody? Or
no,
is
he's
he
not
just
dissing
making
people.
His
no.
Own song?
No, Nas is doing his own thing. Okay. He is, I like to call it second prime, where, you know, Nas was hot back in the day. He fucking put out Illmatic, one of the greatest rap albums of all time. Yes. And like, people look up to Nas as like, you're one of the greats, you're one of the OGs. But in his last, like, 5 years, he's hit a second, maybe a second wind, a third wind. I don't even know what you call it at this point.
Okay.
But he's been on fire. And listening to this new track, I'm like, yeah, this is what I need. You know, you put out like six albums with Hit-Boy. All right, enough with that albums with Hit-Boy. Give me that DJ Premier.
I'll put it on my Spotify playlist. I'm currently listening to Sabrina Carpenter.
Oh, you got to.
Espresso.
I've been listening to Espresso for the last day. It's a hit.
Come on, she's got me.
And then there's like one other thing I put on. I'm now gotta open up my Spotify playlist. There's
up,
like one last thing I added to the playlist.
What's
that's
hot
been,
right now?
That's been making. There's a new Bryson Tiller. I don't know if you listen to Bryson Tiller.
Are you watching Coachella? For how into music you are, like, are you watching Coachella thanks to YouTube and that partnership?
No, I've never been a big concert person. It's been the weird thing with me where I love music so much, but yeah, like I see Coachella's happening and I'll tune in. Like I tune in for some of the Tyler stuff.
Okay.
Because he brought out Donald Glover, which
is
really, really cool.
Yeah.
And he brought out
a lot of people and it was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Man. He was singing on the, alongside Charlie Wilson on the piano. That seemed really cool. And he shot out of a trailer with like explosions and shit. Uh-huh. Like that stuff, I love seeing those clips, but I'm not going to sit through the entire set on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, I really love what Coachella has done over the past 5 years to decade, whatever it was, when they teamed up with YouTube and allowed me to watch Coachella because, yeah, I'm not forking out the money to go to Coachella, but I do love listening to music, seeing concerts in particular, especially Coachella, which is like one of the world's largest, so you know they're going to bring their A game and they're going to bring the guests.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I love the ability to just be able to click, watch, and see what's going on, scroll through different times and
question
stuff.
For you, question for you, Mike, just because this is a little bit of housekeeping, but the thumbnail kind of clued me
yes.
in. Are you watching Hatsune Miku?
I'm definitely Coachella? I'm clicking on it, Barrett. I'm definitely clicking on it. I'm giving it a couple of songs just to see what it is because I still don't quite understand it.
He's a Vocaloid.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's a sound bank and they're making music.
Yeah.
It is very interesting, but like, is it Blessings only music? Is it me, Barrett, and Blessings music? Are they grabbing songs from the whole world and playing it like that? I'm very interested in like, now you take that character and
Hatsune
put it in
is
a
doing
concert.
It all herself, man. Don't
yeah,
worry about
God,
it.
God, it's so cool. Yeah. What a cool freaking thing.
What a cool thing. And yeah, I'm on my Spotify. Logic dropped a new song. I know people are always
Logic.
Back and forth on Logic.
Wow, okay.
I always like to I always like to tune in to see, all right, is it good Logic or is Logic phoning it in? And I like the new song. I like it. It's called 44 Ever. I think it's part of like the 44 series of Logic, which I like. And it's a good song. It's a good good, not the best. I don't know if this album's going to be as heat as I want it to, but it's good. It's good. And so it's a good music week. There's some good tracks here, but Mike,
update your Spotify playlist, ladies and gentlemen.
It's also a good video game.
Maybe add us to your Spotify playlist.
Add us to your Spotify. You can do that with podcasts, which I've not tried, but you can do it. Let's get into this podcast, Mike. Today's stories include Fallout's coming back for season 2, Todd Howard won't put a date on his next games, and more. Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe. If you love what we do, support us with the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all of our shows ad-free, watch us record them live, and get a daily exclusive show. For a chance to be a part of the show, submit your thoughts and opinions as YouTube Super Chats as we go. Housekeeping for you, we're recording Game Showdown today with a couple of special guests that you won't want to miss. That's happening right after Kind of Funny Games Daily on youtube.com/Kind of Funny Games and on Twitch. A new PS I Love You XOXO is up with me and Janet, where we talk about if PlayStation's been dry lately, PlayStation Pro predictions, and Janet's first time playing Persona. And then also a new Kind of Funny podcast is up, youtube.com/Kind of Funny. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Carl Jacobs, Kieran Hovsapien, and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Factor, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. It's Fallout week, man. Everybody's talking about Fallout. And now we have the news. Fallout Season 2 has been officially renewed at Amazon. I'm pulling from Joe Otterson at Variety. Fallout has been renewed for Season 2 at Amazon Prime Video. The announcement comes after Variety reported that a second season was set to receive $25 million in tax credits by relocating shooting to the state of California. Based on the video game franchise of the same name, the series is set 200 years after the apocalypse. The official description states it follows the, quote, gentle denizens of luxury Fallout shelters that are forced to return to the irradiated hellscape their ancestors left behind and are shocked to discover an incredibly complex, gleefully weird, and highly violent universe waiting for them, end quote. Praise be to our brilliant showrunners, and this is a quote, Geneva and Graham, to our kick-ass cast, to Todd and James and all the legends at Bethesda, and to Jen, Vernon, and the amazing team at Amazon for their incredible support of this show. We can't wait to blow up the world all over again, said executive producers Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy. Per Amazon, the show ranks as one of the top three most watched titles ever on Prime Video and the most watched season of TV on the platform since The Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. Mike, it happened. It's a success. It's taken over.
That's crazy. That's great.
Does it surprise you?
After what we watched, no, because it is very good. But yeah, there is that question of like, can it hit the mainstream, right? Is this going to be a Halo where only the gamers are interested and they're only gamers are going to watch, or is it going to become an HBO The Last of Us where my mom is going to tune in? Everybody and their mama, even if they're not a gamer, will tune in. And it turns out it looks like it is. You know what I mean? Big win for Amazon Prime Video as well. I mean, there's some good shows on Prime Video. To hear that it's near the top three, that's very impressive stuff.
Yeah. We had this conversation on our review, right? And I was more on the side of, I think this is going to blow up. I think this is going to be something that everybody's tuning into. And I think it is a few reasons. One, it's good. Like, it's fantastic even, right? Like, watching that as a season of television didn't feel like it was, oh, this is good for a video game adaptation. Mm. No, it felt like, oh, this is a good post-apocalyptic world that you've created here that I think so many people can get into, even if they don't care about video games. But then also on top of that, I think you have the power of Amazon Prime. You have, I think, really good branding. That's something that I think we underrate, like, because we've been aware of Fallout for decades at this point,
true,
right?
True,
like, Mike, we see the Fallout logo, we see the Pip-Boy, we see the little Fallout boy giving the thumbs up. We see all that, and we're used to it, but, like, I feel like when you put that in front of new eyes and you put that on the level of, hey, no, this is prestige, like, you know, our Prime Video is giving this the prime spot, you know, and you put that in front of a lot of new viewers, I think that stuff captures people in a way where it's, oh, that has to hit. You see that Fallout logo and it is, oh, that seems neat, that seems cool, let me check this out. And you get a taste of that apocalypse and it is, oh, this is cool, this is weird, this is different, it's funny, it's wacky, but also brutal and dark, and that brings people in. So yeah, I'm not surprised to see it get as much reverence and popularity as it's getting. Very excited to see it getting a season two. I think we would have guessed it, right? If you watched the show and you finished it, you're like, oh, this needs a season two.
Yeah, it sets up a great question mark for season two and beyond. Of course, it sets up, we can return to those three characters as we know. There's great stories, there's great threads to continue to follow. I mean, I wouldn't even be opposed to if they wanted to do something different, similar to the Fallout situation of the games of, hey, here's a new vault, here's a whole new story. They could do that as well. I have no problem with it, but yeah, it will be very exciting to see where our story takes us because I like what we did in season one and I have questions on where we'll go to season two. It's tough, Bless, because you know me. I'd love to spoil it and just talk with you about it.
Yeah, we're going to do a spoiler conversation at some point.
Like, yo, season two is going to be lit because of X. And so now I won't say any of that. But yeah, even if they were like, hey, we know you love that, but what if we did this, like something completely different? I'd still be into it. They've proven to me that they understand the world of Fallout and I'm all about it.
You know, it would make season two really less without any spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
A weekly release.
That's yeah. I'm glad because Barrett finished the show last night. You said Barrett?
Yeah, I did a binge last night, and there were just episodes 6 and 7. The way they both end, it was like, God, think about like the fun theories we could all be like sharing and discussing about on like a weekly review thing where people have are
that's
only
my big
watching
thing.
Because they've watched the episode and stuff.
The show
know,
is
like,
made as if it is a weekly show.
Y'all
like you
crazy.
Get to the end of an yes. episode and it feels like, oh, I need time.
It's made
to
like it's edited as well, like it's live like on like television or something.
It is.
Like,
yeah.
Ad break blocks essentially, even though like the ads won't play. And so it's like I don't know. It's very
there's been like I've seen the whole back and forth on the internet where there's like a strong divide of people that are like, no, I want the binge release, drop it all at once, yeah. and people that are like, I want the weekly release.
I think it depends on the project.
And that's where I'm at. Like I said it on our review, right? Where I'm like the first few episodes of the show, I loved the first episode. Episodes 2 and 3 felt a bit slow to me, but then in that second half of the season, I was like, oh, this is so good that this deserves to be weekly.
I find it so weird that they even didn't even do the Amazon typical thing where they drop the first 3 episodes of a season and then do weekly from there on out.
Yeah.
I think the first 3, I think, would have been enticing enough to like give people their binge for the first week and then like be on the hook every week.
And that's the thing is I think that's how they should have done it. But yeah, like I could see both sides of it. I think Fallout in that second half, the way they build mystery and the way they build like, oh, what's about to happen next into it, that would have been such a cool checking in every week of, oh man, like what do you think about it? Listening to the podcast, like breaking down every episode, us doing the podcast, right? And then also having that week to think like, oh, okay, so like what is this person walking into, right? Like, what is the reveal that's about to happen? Like, what are they about to do? I feel like they build many of those moments as they're leading into next episodes. That would have been really cool to just sit with that shit.
Yeah, I'm on the other side than you two. You know that.
Yeah.
I think it's all personal preference. I am a binge watcher. That's how I prefer it. But I think for me, you two bring up 6 and 7, right? That means we would have had to make it 6 and 7 weeks to keep you entertained, to have those theories and those conversations. And so...
I'm not saying that those were the first episodes where that.
Oh, I get that, but I just mean like a lot of people are like, oh, episode 3 and then 4 and onward. It's like you would have to capture the mainstream audience, a larger audience than just you two, the gamers who are going to watch regardless, right? Mm-hmm. And so I worry that Fallout, a entity that is mainly gamer related, that is unproven in the TV world of like, is this actually going to be good? Because we can point to about 7 other projects from video games that were never good, right? Mm-hmm. To prove to me that I should be there. And I think 8 weeks would have been way too long to keep the attention of so many people out there. And then also, I'm still of the mindset of like, when we talk about these theories, y'all go on Twitter and just write, episode was great, I really liked that. But if I dare say, yo, on episode this week, then this dude did that, everybody's like, oh, you be spoiling
it. That's Twitter. Don't go on Twitter and spoil
shit.
I'm
trying to have a conversation and have these, you want to have these, oh, these are conversation pieces, these are water cooler moments. But if you go on social media and say any of that, it's like, oh man, you just killed my dog.
I'm not saying you gotta go on social media. I'm talking about like
where am I supposed to have these theories and conversations?
I sit across from you, Mike. talk to me, goddamn it.
Like if they had done it weekly, I think it would have been easier for us to justify, hey, let's do a weekly Fallout screencast like we did with The Last of Us and like have it be a thing where we can fully talk spoilers. And like I think I understand your argument, Mike, but mm-hmm. at the same time, when all 8 episodes drop and then you have those people who are binging like the first like 2 or 3 days, then they feel like they can kind of like, after people have watched only 1 or 2, they feel like they can talk about later shit. Like,
and
I love Greg Miller.
I'm just
Greg
telling
Greg Miller was
telling
getting a little
is.
Too cheeky with some of the last, some of the episodes 7 and 8 and kind of teasing stuff on Instagram and Twitter the last couple of days, which is why I felt like I needed to get rushed through it. And I don't like that. I don't like having to fucking rush through when we constantly have so many things to watch and fucking play and like all this shit. I love premiere viewing. Give me a scheduled time.
And for me, like, I think conversation is only one aspect of it. And for me, the conversation mm-hmm. is even the biggest aspect. For me, it's more so just living with something, right?
Now you have to sit there for 7 days is what you want to sit with.
Yeah, like I want Fallout to be a couple of month or like a season experience where it is, oh, like right now, like how long is this Fallout conversation going to last, right? Like we've had a bunch of headlines in the last week.
Fallout conversation will last for another month maximum.
No, it's not going to get a good
update
month.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
You just got season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
talking with the TV show specifically, not even with the game.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, I mean, a month maximum.
I think by this time maximum. Next week. We're not talking about Fallout. Like we were going to rarely bring up the Fallout TV show anymore. And that saddens me because I think this is a thing that we could have had that 8 to 10 weeks of conversation of checking in. Like for me, it's less so social media and more so the content creators that I follow. Yeah. You know, like I have podcasts that I'm subscribed to where I am the X-Men 97 and Shogun and Invincible. When that was dropping, I am checking in every week with those podcasts to see like, all right, what they think of this episode. Oh, what's the breakdown? What are the little Easter eggs in the episode that I missed and all that shit? Right. Yeah. And I'm speaking of, that's a me personal thing, obviously, like not necessarily most people, maybe a lot of people in our audience because y'all listen to podcasts, but most people aren't consuming things in that way. But for me, it's more so I like the long stretch of, oh yeah, this is Fallout season. Like this is a moment in time that I get to experience where I'm checking back in and I get to come back on make Fridays Fallout Day. And now I'm excited for Fridays for a different reason. You know what I mean? Like I am checking in to see what's going on in that show. For me, that mixes I like that as a special experience. Not every TV show warrants that. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if Amazon, the reason why it wasn't weekly, I wonder if they didn't necessarily believe in it to this extent. I know Amazon's trying new things too. Mr. and Mrs. Smith wasn't weekly as well. Invincible was weekly, but season one was also weekly, which is why I think they stuck with that for season two. But I think, you know, I could see Amazon going, let's just put it all out with Fallout, to your point, right? Like the nerds know what this is, but it's unproven to the mainstream audience in terms of like the TV watching audience. Let's put it out on one season. Let's maybe like, you know, treat it as that thing and then move on from there. Season two, I wonder if they stick with the
weekly
thing.
Well, now the big question is season two, will they hear your cries and go with a weekly release? Or is this the way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think the best example I can give would be for Last of Us, where I remember like when episode three, the Bill and Frank episode of Last of Us, when that happened, that week of talking about that, I felt so special. And then you get to the next episode and it is, all right, cool. Like, let's talk about this too, right? Like, I really enjoy that experience. Fallout doesn't have a Bill and Frank episode, right? So I wonder if there would have been any one episode of Fallout that would have popped off like that. Yeah. But I still stand by, I think, the last half of the season where it is a lot of theories, a lot of mystery going on, you would have had some of that conversation of, oh yeah, let's check in. All right, like, what are people saying about this thing? Like, I can't wait to hear what Mike thinks, what Greg thinks, or whatever it is.
The positive coming out of this is we liked it that much that we're having the conversation about binging and weekly and what we want. And I mean, that's good. That's a big positive for me. I'm excited to get more of this. I want more of this. And I can't wait. Man, y'all are lucky. Y'all are lucky I ain't just tweeting things out because, man, I got so much to say about this show. Y'all are lucky I'm keeping my mouth shut because, man,
we got to talk about it. If it was weekly, Mike wouldn't have too much to
tweet about. If it was weekly, we wouldn't even be at the end yet. We'd still be in the middle of this goddamn show.
Which would have
been cool. And half of y'all would be like, I'm not tuning in anymore because I forgot about it that it happens on a Tuesday night, but it releases at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday, and I forgot about everything. And it's like, yeah, we ain't doing that.
God damn it. Let's continue talking about Fallout with story number two. Todd Howard wants to avoid putting dates on Elder Scrolls 6 and Fallout 5. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Todd Howard has provided an update on the different games currently in development at Bethesda Game Studios. The game director has previously stated on a number of occasions that The Elder Scrolls 6 will be Bethesda's next release, followed by Fallout 5. During an interview with IGN, he was asked if that's still the case, or if the success of the new Fallout TV show could lead to a change of plan. Quote, I'm going to avoid putting dates on anything. I've learned the hard way, he responded. So obviously our focus as far as new development right now is Elder Scrolls 6, but that doesn't mean that we're not making plans for other things. We're still doing a lot of work, obviously on Fallout 76, and we see the community. So many people going into that game and kind of rediscovering it and just so happy with where the game is at. It really does, and I mean, this has one of the best communities in all of gaming. Surprisingly, it's a very, very nice apocalypse, and we're doing a lot of Starfield work as well, he added. So we have some really good updates that are going to get announced soon for that game. So, a lot going on here, end quote. Bethesda recently said it plans to roll out significant new features and fixes for Starfield roughly every 6 weeks. Do you think plans shift up for a new Fallout based on the renaissance Fallout is having right now? Or do you think the next time we see Fallout is going to be a decade from now and both me and you are going to be in our 40s with children?
Inside of Bethesda, plans probably stay the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are on track of Starfield content into Elder Scrolls 6 and then Todd and the team working on Fallout. On all of Microsoft and Xbox, you and I are probably in the room going, hey, Todd, like, what's up? How do we make this a little bit faster? What do we got to do? Do we need to bring in a new team? Do we need to give you more? How do we get this and like capture this right now. Because I mean, yeah, season two comes out, you'd love a new Fallout game. You'd like to be right there.
Yeah.
Is that reality? Probably not. 100% not.
Yeah. I think you got to find some way to make it, like you're saying. I worry that Bethesda are not in a place where they want to let other people work on a major Fallout. You know, like, I think they see that as one of their babies, and they see that as part of the Bethesda identity. And so, like, I know we had it with New Vegas, but, like, we've been talking about this week. It's like, does Bethesda like New Vegas? Like, do they, like that that was, that that's a thing that happened? Or are they like, no, but we want to be the sole harbingers of what we're, like, what Fallout's identity is? Like, we want to be the Fallout people. But to your point, right, like, do you spin up a new studio within Bethesda? Like, does, on the Xbox side... Does after Xbox has bought Activision and bought all the Xbox has so many studios as a publisher, do you want to start up a new studio? Like, you already have so many. It's such a weird place I feel like we're in with Fallout, where it's like we're in between a rock and a hard place. You don't have the bandwidth, Bethesda. Like, you don't have the time to make this in a way that feels timely, in a way that feels like you're doing this IP right. You got to put something out in this IP in the next 5 years, I feel like.
But you're not going to get that.
Yeah, but that's fucked up.
Reality is you ain't getting that blessed. That's right. I mean, it's all hands on deck and looking at Elder Scrolls, right? They have the big three now with Starfield, but those games are important. And that franchise and those titles are important to that team. And they want to be the ones with their fingerprint on it. And will it be the same? Of course, yeah, we go to the only other one, which is Fallout New Vegas. And it was proven that it can work, right? But if you give it to someone else... Is it going to be the same quality? What if it drops off and now you're mad?
The thing that
what
sucks
if it's
is that
not the same? You can and you're like, oh, that sucks.
You can literally give it to the same people that made New Vegas.
Well, they're working on a lot.
They are working on a lot.
Obsidian is turning out a
but here's
lot
the thing.
Of Avowed, Outer Worlds 2. I mean...
But, like, here's the thing, right? Between Avowed and Outer Worlds 2... Wait, that's 4 years. Like, we're going to get... Outer Worlds 2 is going to get here before Elder Scrolls 6. Mark my words, right?
Oh, 100%. And Avowed is still slated
Avowed
for
is
this
year,
right?
Yeah. Avowed is coming this year. Outer Worlds, Worlds 2, I yeah, bet we get in like four. three, four
yeah,
years. Getting a Fallout in like 7 years from now is still better than like whatever Bethesda is going to get us that Fallout, right? Like 12 years from now...
They should be working with Todd and the team inside of Bethesda and saying, what do you need? We have a lot of resources that we can share with you to do this. How do we capture this? I think reality is that we won't get that. But, yeah, I think that's the gamer's dream, especially right in the high that we are right now on Fallout. Is like, yeah. But also, rewind to you 3 months ago before this TV show. Are you and the people clamoring for another Fallout game like this? I think there's people who want it, but there's not the zeitgeist, which is... We need this now.
Now you have the zeitgeist.
So exactly. You didn't have it 3 months ago until now. You got it.
See, I don't see what would be so dope, and I don't know if a certain percentage of people will like this, but like the way I see it in my head that I would like would be to get an announcement of, you know, the way that Todd Howard right now is working on Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Yeah.
With Machine Games.
Of course.
Think about this, right? Bethesda puts out a press release. Hey, we're making a new Fallout, and Josh Sawyer is the one leading it. Like, we have Josh Sawyer working with the Bethesda team to make make this game, like a second Bethesda team. Now, that puts Obsidian in a weird place, because Obsidian is like, well, we need him too. But, like, I feel like there are ways to do it where we could where we could get that game. I think that would be one of the ways.
100%.
Just let Josh Sawyer work on it with Bethesda proper.
There's plenty of teams that work and commingle together. There's plenty of studios that do that already. We've seen that before. So, yeah, what's to say they can't do the initiative approach where they put 12 heads in a room that will kind of oversee the big picture and then team up with another larger studio to get that picture done? It can happen. But, yeah, if we were in the room right now, we're capturing the Fallout hype right now.
Yeah.
So we better get on this.
God.
Well, you can play Fallout Shelter. Don't worry about it.
Last night, do you know how desperate I am for Fallout? Last night, I booted up Fallout 76. And I started running around the world.
It's a good time.
The update for Force comes next week, bless.
Yeah, but I just need, I just, I'm
76 is old. 76 came out when I was at IGN, man. That's old.
It does feel like 76. Does that have a PS5 version? Because that must be what I'm playing. Because I was like, this is smooth. The frame rate was real nice. It could have just been a PS4 update or whatever. But like, I was playing, I was like, this is, I might stick with this for a second.
You should.
But it's not my preferred type of Fallout experience. I'm having decision paralysis right now where I could play New Vegas.
Three, New Vegas. Four, Fallout 76. You have four big titles.
Four options.
Three, Very old.
Very old. I've already played through it. Yeah.
New Vegas.
New Vegas.
Great, but definitely showing its age.
Yeah. I picked it up. That's the big thing for me is I picked it up. I was like, oh man, this is kind of old, but
showing its age.
Yeah. Then, 76. I never played that much of 76, which is why I wanted to pick it up. And it's
and
the
you played
thing.
Four.
I played four.
So why not 76?
Because you know why.
Come on. What's holding
you know
back?
Why not 76?
Give it a try. Quality of life improvements. New add-ons. You know what else? You can always go back to these older games. They got plenty of DLC.
That is true.
All on the
but
cheap
I'm
right now,
But I'm already leveled
too.
Up, and I feel divorced from the world. It's been so long since I was hardcore into Fallout 4.
You got to pick a lane, bro. You got all these options.
Which is why, we, the which is why they should have just...
Why do I need to make you a new
which
Fallout
Which is why
game?
We need a new
you
game.
You got four Fallout
remake
games to choose
Fallout
from with
3.
So much DLC. Get up in there and get lost with it.
Just remake Fallout 3 or something, man.
And also, to the point of, like, I'm not putting dates on things. Yeah. We once inked a date, and then we had to put white out over it. Then we put a pencil, then we erased it. So, yeah, we ain't putting dates on
It's a
on
tradition
those
at
anymore.
This point. When we're going to eventually get no that more. Elder Scrolls 6 date, and we're going to delay that for, like, 3 years in a row. It's part of the tradition. It's okay. Let's move on to story number 3. But before we do, Mike, I want to tell people about patreon.com/kindoffunny and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. That's where you can get the Kind of Funny membership, which allows you to get shows ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. A ton of us here at Kind of Funny have been so thankful for Factor since we've been in the new studio, and you can too. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Head to factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 and use code kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code kindoffunny50 at factormeals.com/kindoffunny50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. And Mike, of course, Fallout's the talk of the town. But let's talk about the other talk about the talk of the town. Dragon's Dogma 2. Of course,
damn.
The streets are still talking about Dragon's Dogma 2. Story number 3, Dragon's Dogma 2 update will reduce the infection frequency of Dragon's Plague. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Mike, do you know what Dragon's Plague is?
No, can you school me on that? Because I've played maybe 10 hours maximum. Yeah. And it's a lot of me and Kevin, of course. Basically, as you know, my NPC is Kevin Coelho. And we've been on a journey together, but... Andy once said about it, but I don't know. I don't know what that is. Tell me.
Basically,
about it.
Like one, like the pawn will get sick, and they start showing signs.
How do I know they're sick? They're leaning over, throwing up.
Like they'll have that look in their eyes.
Oh,
like literally, they'll have that look in their eyes. And
I
also,
have to go up to the pawn and look
well,
them in the eyes.
They'll also like not listen to your instructions, and they'll start behaving weirdly.
Oh, I don't even instruct my pawn somewhere.
That's my thing. Is
we
I'm
just
like,
run together. We die together.
I saw like week one when the game came out. There was a guy that was like, "Yo, my fucking pawn got sick and it bricked my game." Because what happens is that they spread the plague. And towns will die. Like, entire towns will die, and it'll straight up, like, cool, you got no requests
there.
And
this was meant?
Yes.
To do that?
No, this is a purposeful
like,
thing.
In the game, the people behind the scenes were like, I'm going to create a plague.
I'm going to create a sickness that one of your NPCs yes. can get that's going to fucking kill everybody.
It's a real thing.
Yes. And it's incredible.
And it happens and to people?
For me, as somebody who's like, I've not been able to get into Dragon's Dogma 2. It's my favorite thing about Dragon's Dogma 2. And it's like, it's the part where I'm like, oh no, this game is gangster. That's like some gangster shit. Imagine you're playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like, Tom Nook gets sick one day.
Gets sick.
And kills everybody.
Coughs on that dog.
Yeah.
Boom, KC.
And like, and it's your fault because you didn't notice.
Like, chat in your wrong or in the chat right now. There was something like that in World of Warcraft, I remember.
Oh,
where they
there?
Spread some sort of crazy plague in World of Warcraft. So what's going on with the plague? What's happening?
So they're updating it, right? They're going to reduce it. So the article reads like this. Capcom has detailed a Dragon's Dogma 2 update plan for release on all platforms this month. Among other adjustments, Capcom said it's planning to reduce the infection frequency of Dragon's Plague and to make it more noticeable when pawns have caught the disease-like condition.
Okay.
Elsewhere, treasure chests that have already been acquired will no longer be displayed on the minimap, and there are various changes being made to pawns' behavior and dialogue. Capcom said the adjustments and fixes listed below will be released on each platform as soon as they are ready. I'm not gonna read through the bullet points because it's an update. But
my main NPC Kevin,
yeah,
can he get it or only if I invite other NPCs into our home?
That's a question for chat. I assume it's other NPCs because I think the way to prevent Dragon's Plague is to kill that NPC. So I don't think they would do that with your main pawn. But here, I mean, people are saying Kevin can get it.
You know what I mean? Like Kevin can get it without seeing other people. If it was just me and Kevin, the whole adventure.
Chat, let us know.
Kevin can just get it out of nowhere, and then he dies?
Let us know.
But he's my NPC. Can I make a new NPC?
See, I'm not gone this far. Because, I have the same exact questions.
Okay.
You can get it from dragons. So dragons started.
Oh, there are some dragons with some warts on them that I fought. They looked a little sickly.
Oh, yeah, you might want
to check them. They did look a little sickly. Mike. I'm not going to lie to you, chat.
When was the last time you looked at Kevin's eyes?
Are they red?
Shit. Kevin's eyes are always red. Because the holiday's coming up.
Hey, how you celebrating?
No, happy holla blaze.
That's not the blaze. That's the plague. You want to check on him. He's not getting high. He is fucking about to die. Go check on Kevin.
God, you were such like a church youth kid. All of what you just said.
It's not the holla blaze, Mike.
All the slogans that you just came up with in the last minute.
That was incredible.
Oh my fucking God.
Let's open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, all right? Verse 10. Thou shalt not get the plague. All right, keep them safe. Check on your check on your pawns. They're making it more obvious now. Even though, again, I'm from the outside looking in. I played 10 hours as well.
Yeah,
and I just can't get into it. But I'm kind of on the side of like, yo, fuck it, we ball. Don't even make it more obvious. Keep it the way it is. This is fucking awesome.
A lot of people in chat, they said, oh, we like this kind of idea of like, oh, this is fun. Like, we want to see more games take on mechanics like that. And I think it is cool.
Metal Gear Solid 5 had a similar thing. It was part of the main plot.
Okay.
Did you finish Metal Gear Solid 5?
I wouldn't know.
I got to Metal Gear Solid 6, y'all.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, I probably know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there was like a little thing in Metal Gear Solid 5.
You had to get up in there, man. You had to discover.
And it's like, you had to like figure out like, okay, what is making people sick?
What's making them sick?
And I love the way they went about it because it ties into the themes in the game and all this shit. But like, I love that kind of stuff where it comes out of nowhere and it's like, oh, fuck, I got to figure this shit out. I got to play doctor. I got to do research. I got to solve shit. I love that kind of stuff. And so if there's an outcry, of course, fix it for the fans. Make sure it's balanced correctly. But if you're out there struggling with the Dragon's Plague or if you're out there scared to death, hopefully now, if you look into your pawn's eyes, you can figure it out.
So they're rolling it back a little bit, not making it as contagious. And you'll be able to see it a little bit better.
Yeah. Essentially, you'll be able to identify it a little bit better.
I'm going to keep my eye out. I'm having fun with the game. Mm-hmm. It hasn't fully captured me, but that's also because there's about thousands of games that I can get lost with right now, every single moment of every day. And so, I liked the adventure. I've been enjoying it. The combat is still a little stiff for me, but it's still fun. It's a good time.
I had to have the moment with myself where I'm like, I gave this a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, like I played enough of this where I feel genuine in my feelings that this isn't vibing with me. I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm not gonna call it a trash game, right? I see enough people enjoying it where I'm all right, there's something there that's really connecting with people, and I can respect a lot of the friction that they build into the game to make it feel like you're overcoming an experience.
Yeah,
I had to sit and be like, all right, this is not a game made for me, and that's okay.
That's all right.
You know, I'm just gonna go and play what other games I'm playing. I can't listen. Balatro. I'm gonna play Balatro. I can say Balatro.
Man, dude, that's a game.
That's a video game right there.
That's a game right
there. You want to talk about friction.
Holy cow.
Dang, you know? You see somebody finally got the achievement where you beat Balatro without getting any jokers.
Yes, my buddy Rudinism got that as well. Let me see if I can find him.
That's wild.
Rudism. I always call him Rudinism, but it's Rudism. And you've probably seen him on social media. He's the jabroni who makes really dope custom controllers. So he'll beat games with like crazy controllers. He played with a bunch of bananas once. He made a frying pan in PUBG.
He's the one who made the pepper grinder.
He made the pepper grinder controller for you.
That's cool.
With the Devolver team. So shout out to my guy, Rudism.
He beat Balatro without jokers?
He beat Balatro without jokers, and it was an insane number. Let me see.
It's crazy because I can't imagine how that math works. Just based on like the possible amount of... You had to get lucky, like really lucky, on a certain number of hands in a row. Like, you have to be getting, like...
I also wonder, like, what deck they're
You gotta remember the deck plus all those tarot like cards and the tarot planet cards.
And you're, upgrading all the planet cards.
Well, yeah, it's like 0.0004%, something insane like that. Like, no, nobody's getting that.
That's wild.
You know? So good for them.
Good for them. Story number four. Iodine Chronicle is moving forward with a sequel. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. The upcoming Iodine Chronicle 100 Heroes will be getting a sequel despite the recent death of its creator. Yoshitaka Murayama, the creator of Suikoden and its spiritual successor, Iodine Chronicle, passed away in February due to complications with an ongoing illness. Murayama created the Suikoden series in the 1990s and produced, wrote, and directed the first three games in the series before leaving Konami to become a freelance developer. In 2020, he founded Rabbit and Bear Studios and launched a Kickstarter campaign for the series' spiritual successor, Iodine Chronicle 100 Heroes. However, his passing means he was not able to live to see the game's release, which will be on April 23rd for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. In a recent Reddit AMA about the game ahead of its release next week, senior members of the development team using a single account invited fans of the series to ask them questions. One user asked, "What's next for Rabbit and Bear? With the unfortunate passing of Murayama-san, are plans for a potential sequel to Iodine Chronicle up in the air, provided that the sales are well above or within expectations?" The studio replied that plans for a sequel had already been laid out by Murayama before his death, and that those plans would continue to go ahead.
Oh.
I know, it's a sad story,
Like,
this person that is the creator of this thing that is about to put out their next thing passes away shortly before the release of it, doesn't get to see it through. Breaks her heart, but it's cool to see that the studio's carrying those plans forward.
Yeah, and carrying still kind the of torch and continuing, right? And laying down those plans early enough. We always talk about it, like, talk with your loved ones, share those stories, ask them questions before they go. Mm-hmm. And it is cool to see in, like, a business sense, right? To be like, hey, here's where we're at. Like, what's the next idea? What can we do? And then, unfortunately, you know, you never want to see someone pass, but how can we carry that, continue going? I'm sure fans will love that. That's great.
Yeah. And the game comes out next week. Very excited for it, right? It looks really cool.
I'm watching it right now on Steam. I like this art style. You know me, I'm not a big turn-based jabroni. So. Yeah,
our style is cool. Yeah. Suikoden, I never got to play Suikoden. Everything I know about Suikoden, I heard about from Jared Petty.
Okay.
But the way I understand it, right, like, the really cool thing about the game is that you can recruit so many different characters.
Oh,
and so that's
that.
Why it's called 100 Heroes, is the idea of, like, you have so many options for people to recruit to your party and play with. It looks cool. It looks fun. It looks like a faithful sort of successor to what they made back in the day. Like, what, PS1 era, PS2 era? Like, okay. that era of RPG. I love that we're in a place now with modern gaming that we can take those games, make them new again, and make them feel like, something that came out as new, right? Something that feels modern, something that feels with the times. For me, I go back to Live Alive, which I played a couple years ago, and that's a game that originally came out on Super Nintendo in Japan. Having that game be remade, localized, and put out made that game feel new, and playing it in 2022, I think it was, playing it in 2022 felt right.
Yeah.
I love that we're able to do this, and so looking forward to Iodine Chronicles.
Live Alive Plus.
It's Live Alive. Live a life. I can't tell you. See, after you said Marvel's 1942, I can't listen to you anymore. That was the last straw. It was 1942. One number off.
No, it was 1952, plus.
God fucking damn it. Last news story, before Wii News, story number five. Kena Bridge of Spirits has been rated for Xbox Series X. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Kena Bridge of Spirits looks set to be released for Xbox consoles. 2.5 years after its original release, an Xbox Series X/S version has been classified by the U.S. Entertainment Software Rating Board. Kena Bridge of Spirits was released in September 2021 as a timed exclusive for PS5, PS4, and PC via the Epic Games Store. In an interview published to coincide with the game's release, Ember Lab co-founder and COO Josh Greer said the studio wasn't ruling out bringing the game to other platforms in the future. Quote, "We're currently focused on our launches for PlayStation and Epic Games Store, which are timed exclusives. We will look into other platform releases after launch and a rest," end quote. The title received a Steam release in September 2022 alongside an anniversary update, which introduced features like New Game Plus. Did you ever play Kena Bridge of Spirits?
No.
It's a really good game.
I think I played like the first level, but I didn't see it all the way through. Looks very pretty game. Not my
gorgeous
style.
Game.
Doesn't draw me in, you know what I mean? But I know Andy hyped it up. I believe you guys all talked about it from the PlayStation side a lot.
I think we all loved it, right? I think at the very least, we're all like, this is a great game.
Okay.
I remember playing it and being like, this It just feels different than what a lot of what you get out of action games nowadays, right? Okay. Like, has a very unique art style. The setting almost feels like I'm in like a PS2 Attack and the Power of Juju type thing, right? Where I'm not seeing this kind of world before. Like, what's going on here? But like, very animated, very cartoony, but very like very well realized in terms of how good the environments look and how good the character models look. Very pretty game to look at, but then also surprisingly difficult.
How long?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I don't remember. It must be like 15 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say it's somewhere in the 10 to 15 range. I would say at times way too difficult for the type of game it is.
Oh.
But I don't. And the final
boss fight fucking sucks.
The second to last boss fight hurt me.
Okay.
I put up a tweet about that boss fight that got me in trouble. Like, it was before the game came out, so I couldn't even like clarify myself. But like, this is me probably 15 losses into this boss fight where I'm like
getting frustrated.
I put up a tweet that's like,
why are we doing this?
Why do we make final boss fights give like a crazy ass difficulty spike out of nowhere? Like, that was basically my complaint, which I still stand. I think that's a very fair complaint. I don't think you need a boss fight that is three times as hard as the rest of the game. There should be a consistency with like how your like leveling up goes. But yeah, I put that up. People got really mad. They're like, oh, fucking media does not play fucking games.
Shit.
But it's a good
final boss fight takes all of the things that you've learned throughout the game and puts them together. The difficulty is finding the balance how you use everything you learned in one combat encounter. Really big health bar.
My thing is, I'm like, if a regular boss fight in this game, say, takes me 4 or 5 tries, why am I on try number 20, the final boss fight, right? I'm at the end of this game. I am looking forward to credits. I'm ready to wrap this thing up. And it's 2 hours in, and I'm still fighting the same last boss fight. I get frustrated, Mike.
I get frustrated. You're speaking to me and everybody out there listening. I think we all feel that way. Yeah. That's right. But when a good game is good, a great game is great. You love to see it go other places and be able to be shared amongst everyone. That's great.
And that's the thing, yeah. I think Kena: Bridge of Spirits is a game that deserves to be everywhere, right? Like, that's a game that you want to get as many people as possible.
Would you sign it to Game Pass? Like, your money bags, Phil? You calling them up saying, yo, what up?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If you have the opportunity to.
Yeah. Okay.
I would say, like, if you can make even the deal for, hey, let's put Kena 1 on Game Pass, and then whenever you do Kena 2, let's launch that shit on Game Pass. Like, let's do it.
Okay.
I'd be having those conversations as Big Phil.
I like that.
Mike? It's a lot of big news that we talked about. But if I wanted something smaller, say the tiniest news I needed to know about, where would I go?
Plus, you'd go to our last story, the Wii News Channel, where we cover all the small news items you need to know about.
That's right. Story number 6. It's time. We got Wii News for you. Let's start off with Sklash. Sklash is coming to Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and Switch on May 2nd.
What the hell is Sklash? Give me a rundown.
I'm pretty sure that's the game we played at one of these presentations where it's like two hits and you're done.
Oh!
It's like, I'm pretty sure, I might need one of you guys to look this up, but I think it's one of those games where it's like one or two strikes and you're out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that.
I think I had this on Steam.
And I never buy it right now for $9 on Steam. That is true.
I think I also have it on Steam.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had this for a bit.
Really cool.
That's sick. It's a 2D samurai fighting game. I like that.
Yeah.
You see that cool Shadow game?
No.
Skim?
Oh, Skim, yeah.
Come on, man.
Oh, it's got a release
date now.
Come on,
man.
That game looks really cool.
That game's going to be dope, y'all. This game's going to be dope.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 launches 2024 on Xbox Series X, PS5, and PC.
Hey, they made it too.
Yeah, they made a second one.
I know they had their big event yesterday. I didn't know if they were going to do something new and different or if they were going to stick, you know, just make a sequel. You know what I mean? Good for them. Okay.
MetaQuest 2 has gotten a permanent price drop to $200. That's $199 for the 128-gigabyte SKU.
Is that the one we've been rocking?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't.
I think we're rocking the 2,
right?
No,
right now we have 3. The new one is 3.
We're on 3.
We're on the 3.
Really?
Yeah, 2 is the previous one. 3 is the one with like the cameras on front of it.
$199? Okay.
128 gigabytes.
A little bit lower. You know what I mean? Give me that lower. $150. Maybe we'll talk about it. You know what I mean? Give me that $150.
And then... Sorry, somebody dropped a link.
That was me.
I saw this. Is this news?
I mean, this is the developer of Katana Zero.
This is Katana Zero teasing DLC,
I don't want to hear anything from the developer of Katana Zero except for when are we getting more?
There's a little tease.
They posted this video with the quote, "Aren't we all monsters now, Zero?" I feel like we're getting ramped up for an official like DLC release.
Should
cool. I'll it's be like there when you drop it.
Or maybe evolve it into a sequel. Katana 1.
Maybe it's this year. Maybe I should bid on it for my fantasy draft critic.
Maybe you should.
I'm crushing it,
man.
Do it.
I got a solid squad. I know y'all talked about it with Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he's looking at it. He's lost. But like your boy Mike.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Are you?
I'm in. Look at my team. Look at Snowbike Mike's team and say he doesn't have a chance. Now, I will say Baird and Greg look probably the best. You're in the mix, Bless. I'll tell you, you're in the mix.
I'm not in the
mix.
But
like Baird and Bless, or Greg and Bless do look like they're up at the top. But like, I know a lot of people dogged on me of like, Snowbike Mike's going to take last place. Fool, I'm in the top four guaranteed. Look at this list. Look at this list right now. This is top four. What the hell does that thing mean next to the Final Fantasy thing?
You're not going
to
get any points for Hades 2.
For Hades 2?
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely get points for Hades 2.
It's early
you think people are going to review that early access?
We'll see.
People are 100% going to review Hades 2 early access.
I will say
I don't think they will.
Mike's That's team crazy is great. Talk. I will say Mike has a great team.
I got to thank you, Bless.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at it right now. I
appreciate that.
Hollow Knight Silksong is going to give you a lot of points.
Mike is guaranteed top four, if not come from top
Also, we didn't cut off the Wii News.
A lot of people said I would be last place. Always remember that, chat.
Plucky Squire is going to give you points.
If it comes. Replace, I don't think, comes out.
Yeah, that's...
And he's stuck with Replace as well.
Replace, I don't... Yeah, Replace, I don't have faith in.
You see, I got Roger Good.
What's that?
Roger picked Hyper Light Breaker, and he's like, I'm trying to drop this game. And I looked over at him across from my desk. I said, you ain't dropping shit, Roger.
Fuck yeah.
Because I counterpicked that fool.
Fuck yeah, dude.
You nerd.
And it says it won't release this year, even though they said there would be a early access thing this year, which, again, I'm very confused by.
Fuck you, Mike.
I'm top four guaranteed, chat. Guaranteed top four.
Now, I keep... the thing that's going to be my downfall
yep.
is that I keep getting tempted by fruit, you know?
Okay.
I keep getting tempted by the fruit. We have the Nintendo Indie World.
Yes.
I might have bid on a couple of those.
Oh, I like that.
But
I like that.
The thing I've been trying to bank on for this Fantasy Critic is Summer Game Fest and waiting. And I'm doing a bad job of waiting.
Oh.
There's just a couple of games where I'm like, ah, but I
noticed a lot of us are doing a bad job of waiting.
Yeah.
Andy's already filled up his. I think Roger filled up his. A lot of us have not done a good job at like, wait for that back half of the year with a little bit of space. Everybody's at like three maximum space
yeah.
wise. I think you might have 4 to 3.
There's
but
so
like,
many games that are going to drop in the fall.
Yeah.
And we don't have space for any of them. So I'm like fucking up by filling in my space. But like, you know, I picked up Aiden Chronicle, 100
you
Heroes.
You got three spots open.
Blessing has the most spots.
I'm
going
to tell you right now, two of those are about to fill up this Saturday.
Your boy, Stomach Mike, wants to pick Skim, but like, I'm trying to leave room for Jesus. You know what I mean?
Leave some room for Jesus.
I'm
and
trying
also,
to leave
I'm still,
a little room.
I'm in the space where I'm like, do I drop a Avowed?
Or trade it. Give it to Mike.
I mean, Mike, do you want to give me...
You don't think Avowed drop an 85? You don't think they drop it an 85?
I need more than 85. I need 90s.
Oh, wow.
He does.
I need games in the 20s.
His first, like, three games have all kind of been...
Yeah, like, Rise of the Ronin screwed me. Pepper Grinder, I disagree with the open critic for Metacritic,
okay.
Or for Pepper Grinder.
Where should have landed?
Like, 85.
Okay. Oh, 85, okay. That's a big jump.
That's
6 points.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. I expected more of based on how well the fighting game did. I'm like, okay, well, if the fighting game did good, certainly the big like action RPG that they're making is going to put up numbers. Yeah. But like it has like a good meta, open critic. But yeah, I need Flight Simulator to come through for me, which I think it will. I think that'll get me over 90.
That's a slam dunk. Bless me. Flight Sim with the activities, that's just going to be crazy.
Black Myth Wukong is like it's such a mystery. That could be a 80. That could be a 89. Who knows?
Could be.
Anywhere between that. And then yeah, like Avowed, I think it's gonna be good, but I need bangers.
What's up with my Final Fantasy thing? Why has it got this weird look to it? What does that mean?
That's it doesn't have a link on Open Critic right now, what that means. That pretty much means that the website has detected that the game is out now, but people haven't reviewed it.
I threw up a Hail Mary on that one. Because I was chasing fruit, like you said.
Yeah.
It's like I'm sitting there with three open spots. I'm like, am I supposed to be picking things? I don't know what I'm doing. And I finally was just like, I'm going to pick something, you know, because I'm crazy.
I'm leaving one spot open for kind of Summer Game Fest.
I like that.
And I have $50 left. Do I use all $50 for
I have
game?
So much money left. I get all these games for a dollar. Do I get points for having all this money?
No, you don't. Like,
it's just like, I have so much money, it's crazy, man.
Yeah, Metroid Prime 4 is going to be the big determining factor for me. That game comes out, then it's already like, oh, okay, well, charge it. I'm not I'm out. I'm not gonna be playing this again for the rest of the year if Metroid Prime 4 gets announced. But if it doesn't get announced, I think that's gonna be my the thing that propels me.
I like that.
You know, getting no negative points for that.
Remember, chat
counterpicked that. Oh,
Snowbike Mike, top four.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
I could see it, Mike.
A lot of people said I would be last.
Honestly, this top four right here, I could see it staying.
Thank you, homie.
Let's talk about YouTube Super Chats. Michael gives us a chat and says, "You guys fucking rock."
Oh, thanks, homie.
You rock,
Michael.
You know,
Blessing and Barrett rock. Give these guys some love and how incredible they are. Let's put up a little tweet about his YouTube channel, too. God bless you. You're so good.
A YouTube channel I've not uploaded anything to
in years. You never know. One day.
Optimus Prime says, there is 4 years between Elder Scrolls 5 and Fallout 4, 8 years between Fallout 4 and Starfield, Fallout 76 aside. And being familiar with Creation 2, I think we'll see Elder Scrolls 6 sooner than we think. We'll see.
Okay, well, what's Elder Scrolls 6 to you?
What year is it?
Yeah. And what's sooner than you think? Aren't we all thinking 27?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 20. At the earliest, 2027. At the earliest.
So sooner than you think to me is like, oh, you think you'll pull out 25, 26?
Like, realistically, I'm looking at 2028 for Elder Scrolls.
I thought we were 27. Yeah, 27 was the earliest type vibe. Okay.
What is this tape on the desk? You see this? This has been here the whole time.
What the fuck?
That's on the microphone.
So someone on KFP yesterday peeled it off and then stuck it to
Nick
the
table. Nick Scarpino, he
don't
sat
do
there.
That.
That's Nick.
Don't do that.
I'll put it in my pocket.
I'll fight you.
Okay. Sooner than you think. I like that. I like that, Prime. I mean, sooner than I think would be 24, 25, 26. So,
and that's not
hope
happening.
You're right. I'm going to pray.
It's not happening.
Pray to Todd Howard.
Like, realistically, I mean, again, they just mentioned 8 years between Fallout 4 and Starfield. Now, we have to factor in Fallout 76, which I think, you know, extends that time.
Yeah.
But I think regardless, right?
But was that main team working on 76? I thought that was a different
team. Like, some people were working on 76 from Bethesda. I do think that's a big factor. And so, I'm sitting at 2028, probably, for Elder Scrolls.
Okay.
Yep. And then what for Fallout 4 or Fallout 5? 2034 probably.
okay. Well, it's a decade from now. But
this is what I keep saying. Like, these games take a long, they're making these humongous open world RPGs.
So sick.
That are like the big, like,
yeah,
that
but,
have
like, they
crazy
ain't improving
scope.
The engine. Because, like, they still be standing there like robots.
And look what that did for Starfield's development. It took us 8 years to get there. But hey, I pray we get it sooner. I hope we get it sooner. I want it sooner. Live to Die says, happy Taylor Swift album release day to Greg and KF.
Yeah, I know Joey's listening.
Where's the Kendrick album? That's what I want. I want another Kendrick album.
Roger says he's making one.
Actually, I told that to Roger this morning.
Oh, okay, yeah. Roger told me.
So I heard somebody online say May. Now, you know. Does that come with any
May? It's April.
I know. It sounds crazy.
May is tomorrow. Oh, May is next month. Okay, that's sick.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to happen.
Okay.
And that's it for Super Chats. Let's talk about kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite it and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Kebab says Fallout 76 does not have a next-gen version/update, etc. It's playable on PS5 and Series X thanks to backwards compatibility. Well, it looks pretty good on PS5. It was running pretty smooth. I was like, yo, this feels like I'm playing it in performance mode.
And you got that nice setting, too.
Define nice.
West Virginia, the rolling hills, the smoky mountains. It's pretty. Fall colors.
I guess, yeah. It's relaxing.
I mean, it's very, when we compare it to any other Fallout.
Well, that's my thing as I was playing yesterday. I was like, oh, yeah, this is like a very pretty Fallout game because of the setting. But I'm also like, I don't necessarily want my Fallout to be pretty. I want to be in a fucking
barren wasteland.
I want to be in a decimated city. Give me Boston, but all fucked up. Give me DC.
You go play four.
Gotcha.
Give me DC. That's what I'm saying is that, like, I like those settings a bit more because it is you feel the decimation.
Okay.
You feel the fucking shit. Like, I'm standing on a building that, like, used to be here. I'm in Appalachia. I'm like, can I camp out? Like, I feel like I'm about to just fucking, I don't know, roast some marshmallows in this Fallout.
Go find the Mothman.
Oh, they did have the Mothman.
They got the Mothman. Go up to the top of the ski hill.
I ran into some super mutants yesterday.
Oh.
They took me out.
Go to the big water park. See what's going on over there. I think somebody's looking for you.
Paul's saying, this is too nice. Appalachia's too nice.
Go out to the pit, the new DLC, along with Atlantic City.
Atlantic City.
Yeah, they got Atlantic City. They got the Pit, which is Pittsburgh. They got stuff going on, bro.
I want a fucked up Fallout.
And you can bring your friends.
Yeah, but like, who's... If I ask any of my friends to play Fallout 76 with me, they might unfriend me. Like, they might abandon me as a friend. They're playing Baldur's Gate 3 right now. You think they would have stopped that to play Fallout with me? What else we got? Grezik writes in and says, the incident in World of Warcraft Mike was talking about was Blood Plague. It was an accident where contagious damage over time spell from a dungeon boss got transmitted into one of the capital cities by a player. It absolutely destroyed low-level players there while constantly being transmitted back and forth between high-level NPCs. Later on, some players transmitted the plague on purpose. Servers had to be rebooted to stop it. That's awesome.
That's sick.
That's fucking sick, right? Awesome.
Especially in an MMO setting like that.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Super cool.
Kebab says, Live Alive did indeed come out in 2022. You crushed it, bless. Thank you. When it comes to these years, I can tell you. Give me a game, I'll tell you what year it came out.
Okay, I thought you were going to date specifically.
Can I say any
when did
game?
It go down?
I'll give you the
years.
Month. Well, probably, okay. I'll give you the month.
Halo 3.
Okay, well, that's kind of early.
Okay.
Well, 2000, if I had to guess when Halo 3 came out, 2007?
You talked about it recently. Gears 5.
Oh, that's a tough that's one because I did not, you I just do not care about it. Gears. Gears 5.
Gears
2019?
I'm
probably off. I'm probably off.
Let me take a look.
I don't think Gears came out when I was in Kind of Funny. So
2019.
Let's fucking go.
Come on, kid.
Let's fucking
go.
He
got it, bro.
Come on, man.
He got it.
Good with you. I'm good with years. That's my whole thing. Years. Years of Michael Cera impressions. Let's see. Banner Sense says, for some context, Amazon released the first season of The Boys all at once and then switched to weekly for season 2, 3, and Gen V. Did they really?
See?
Holy
so,
shit.
Became a proven thing. People loved it. Go weekly.
That's awesome.
Maybe that's what will happen for you.
And then Kebab says, missed Wii News. The guy who leaked the Medieval 2 remake rumors admitted that he made up the rumors to troll journalists.
Damn.
Oh, thank God.
Check him out.
Damn.
Justice serves, because like, if we were going to get a Medieval 2 remake before, I don't know, name any other PlayStation property, it would have been fucked up.
Yeah, but that Medieval game was pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got Medieval 1 before any other PlayStation property. Why is Medieval 2 now? Why is it crazy with the second one?
Medieval too much, okay?
Do we not like Medieval?
And also, you're trolling journalists when you just trolled gamers, period. Which I'm not, listen, I'm with you, you know? Let's troll the gamers, I guess. But like, you're not just trolling journalists, you're trolling people who read the shit. And so now it's like, you're trolling YouTubers, you're trolling everybody.
Yeah.
And now everybody doesn't like you.
Damn.
Listen,
you gotta go make a new Twitter account, bro.
You gotta make, yeah.
That's all, you just gotta go make a new Twitter account.
Well, that's it. For you're wrong.
Dope.
Mike, that's it for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about live on YouTube, Twitch, and on podcast services around the globe.
Yeah.
Of course, if you love what we do, get the Kind of Funny membership on Patreon or YouTube to get all the shows ad-free, watch, score them live, and get a daily exclusive show. Until next time, Game Daily.